Alrighty.
Good. Right. We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. We'd like to invite everybody to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, for attendance purposes, myself, Brian Carey, Randy Eimhausen, and Greg Neff are present. Lori Marker and Debbie Madrill are not present. Agenda item number 2, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items as they are presented. If you wish to speak to the council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Do we have any comments at this point? All right, we'll go to...
We approve the minutes for November 9th.
All right, all in favor of the approval of the minutes for November 9th?
Aye.
Aye. Agenda item number 4, approval of the agenda for today, January 11th.
I motion.
All in favor of the approval of the agenda for today, January 11th?
Aye.
Aye. All right, we'll move on to agenda item number 5, informational items. Do we have a report from the Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department?
All spread out, love this. Mm-hmm. Good evening, Ken Smith, Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department. Ending out the year, we ended up with a total of about 181 medical calls, 27 fires, and that put us as the second busiest rural station in Clark County, with one station doing more than we did by 3 calls, and they've got a major highway going through their community. So, just to give you an idea of what we're up against some days. Short of that, I don't have a whole lot for anyone. If anyone's got any questions for me, great.
Thank you very much. We'll receive a report from Metro.
How you doing? With the new year in front of us, I just want to take a moment and just kind of give a quick overview or assessment of kind of what took place with the last year. What's great about Sandy Valley is I'm very pleased with how overall Sandy Valley has been done regarding calls for service. If we do have calls for service, what they are, the level that they're at. So I'm very happy. Nothing of major significance, other than a little bit of odds and ends. With the new year going in, I'm going to be sitting down the next few weeks, and I'm going to make a decision whether or not to implement one or two things for the benefit of the community. Right now, the way I'm going to assess that is I'm going to look at the efficiency of the decision and what the return on investment is going to be. And what I mean by return on investment, I'm talking about manpower equity. I'm going to consider one or two things. If the result equates to those two things, then I'm going to continue on with it. I'm not 100% sure what exactly we're going to do. I know it's going to involve COP. Community-oriented policing, what that acronym is for, and what the results are going to be. It might be a scenario where I run the scenario, run it for 6 months to a year, see what the investment or the return is, and then decide whether or not to continue forward with it. So that's just a couple of things. Another thing, you'll see a lot more of the officers at these meetings. I originally took on that task, and then I'm changing that task to allow them to come to these meetings as much as possible outside of the framework that they're working. And again, if you guys have any questions, you guys know exactly where our office is. I have an open door policy. And I mean, so please feel free, okay?
All right, thank you very much. I'll receive a report from Sandy Valley Schools. I don't know.
Well, I know that we are currently on a 5-day pause starting Friday. It went through the whole district that the district's staff development day on Friday, and the Tuesday we are going to be off for 5 days. They're trying to do a pause with the district to hopefully help our safety and health for COVID, because our numbers are so high. That went to both parents and staff, so we're doing some contingency days. So a basketball game on Friday was canceled. However, we do have a home game on Wednesday. And what else?
And I would just say, if you're looking for any information with the school, the school website is sandyvalleyschool.com. If you go to the athletics section, that's where we have schedules. Because of some of the issues with COVID and some other things, we are seeing some changes to games more than we normally do. So we're trying to make sure that that website is up to date with the current schedules. There's also information there about tickets. You can actually stream games through there as well. There's a couple different things on there. And as was kind of asked for us to kind of post a little bit more in the community site and on the community Facebook site, we're trying to post some of those changes as well. So I'm trying to get a little bit better about that. The girls right now are 5-0, and the boys are 2-3, and they're improving. So basketball is going, but we may have some little hiccups here and there just because of the nature of things. So, all right. We'll receive a report from Clark County Parks and Recreation.
Okay. Are you going to be open?
Do we have someone from Valley Electric or a report? Okay. We'll receive a report from Clark County Administrative Services.
All right. I have several things to share with you. This is not here. I don't have an agenda in front of me, so I'm going to steal your agenda. Thank you. All right. Family Dollars. I checked in with them today. They're running into a couple more hiccups. The county definitely doesn't make things easy on people. So we are working through that. The commission and I talked to them around Christmas time, working on a couple of things they're dealing with. Building in a rural area is just like a different kind of animal. So they're facing some challenges and we're working through it. They do not have a date, open date yet. It kind of depends on how we get through these little problems we're having. Starbucks and Gene, I did not get an update on that one. I apologize. The gas station, they have one more inspection they have to do, and they're in the queue for that inspection. But along with everybody else, we're having staffing shortages, people sick, lots of stuff going on. So as soon as they get that last inspection, they'll be able to open, and I'm sure we'll be sharing that with everybody on the Facebook page and everywhere to do a big grand opening. The skate park, we do not have an update on that. They are working through the budgeting process with the county right now. So once all that shakes out and see, we can see where the money's gonna go and when we're going to be able to get the skate park funded. You can see we are down to three people today. One is sick, and Debbie Madrill has moved, so we are missing one CAC member. So if you are interested and want to participate in the CAC, we would love to have you. You can see me get an application form. It's just one day a month. It's not a whole big obligation, and you get paid in lots of appreciation by you. and that's priceless, just in case you want to know. We are very lucky tonight, because I know the topic on a lot of people's minds right now is the accident that happened on the 15 yesterday. It was awful, and I think it was very spooky for all of us that live here, because it could have been any one of us that got hit by that wrong way driver. So Michelle Castro is here from, and I'll just share what the information I got, and then you can chime in if I'll take this off. I see some of you are squinting at me. So I work really closely with NDOT on all these issues, and I actually drove by the scene yesterday, and it really stuck with me. It was very scary. So I reached out to our district engineer, Mario Gomez, And I also talked to multiple different people in NDOT today. So they, the past, was it 18 months? They were doing a pilot program for wrong way driver technology. And so they had 37 sites where there was cameras, and when they would sense someone going the wrong direction on a ramp, it would turn on flashing lights. And through all the testing of those 37 sites over those months, 89% of the time it was effective and got the people to realize they were going the wrong way. So that's a pretty good percentage. That was just a pilot program, but it's been approved. So the funding will get approved during the budgeting process this July. It will go out to contract, and then this time next year they should be putting those in. Right now they are not specifically scheduled to go at Prim or Jean, and we don't know where that woman got on, so we don't know at which intersection it is. But I am going to lobby NDOT that we have those at those intersections. In the meantime, you know, that's a ways off still. I talked to our district engineer, and we're going to look at flashing lights on the signage. There are signs on both ramps. There's two that say do not enter and two that say wrong way. I don't know if someone's severely impaired, if they are drunk enough to go that many miles the wrong direction on a freeway. I don't know that a light on a sign is going to make a difference, but maybe for that one person it will, you know, and we would not have lost four people last night. So So the other thing on the agenda was traffic on the 15, and that 15 with the intersection there at Jean. So our next presentation is going to be from a group that's doing a project in Jean, and I know we're all concerned about the traffic, and I've let them know how concerned we are about the traffic because they hear about it from me all the time. So they will talk to you about that, and that's why Michelle came to join us from NDOT, so they can share what they're going to do about what's going on there. All right, any questions for me? Oh, and thank you for everybody that came to the Winter Festival. It was fantastic. I think if you're there, I think you really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, a lot of work, but it was a whole lot of fun. So thank you for everybody that participated. So, yes?
Can I just say one thing about like the signage or whatever? Mm-hmm. If we could have where the bridge is, I really feel that if we could have a sign that says, you know, 15 North, Las Vegas, because when a person comes out of, we'll say, the gas station, they just don't see the 15 North sign. It's buried. It's hidden. It's way down and to the left. So if we could have a sign on the bridge, huge, you know, straight arrow, keep going for 15 North.
Yeah,
I think that would be huge. Yeah.
Yes.
Since the problem seems that it might be that people are too impaired to realize that flashing light and all those signs, they're going the wrong way, maybe there should be other signs on the other end of the road saying, bonehead coming, prepare for impact, and everybody will slow down and reduce the impact.
I think there would have to be a lot of those signs, because let me tell you, when I was coming out of that accident last night, and I could see something was on fire, and everybody's slowing down, and those... Sorry for anybody that's come from California. Those jerky California drivers, even though everybody's slowing down, they are jumping in and out and going into the shoulder where the fire is. So I don't know that there's enough signage to prepare people for all the boneheads that are out there. So
this is true. But
yeah. So
How about the tire, like at Red Rock, if you're trying to go out or whatever without paying? They get the tire thing where it's going to pop on
the
tires.
No, they go that way, and then their car would be disabled, and everybody's
like, yeah, can't get out.
So no, I don't want that. Yes.
Thank you for taking your mask off. Uh-huh. Anyone speaking, we can't hear you with your mask on. Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else? Okay.
All right, we do not have any items for planning and zoning, so we'll move on to agenda item number 7, general business. We have a representative from Talos Development that will share information about their proposed industrial project in Jean that will include a warehouse and distribution center uses. We do ask that we allow them to give their full presentation before we have any questions in that. That way they may already answer your questions before the end. All right.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is...
Take off your mask,
Tony. Oh, yes. Thank you. My name is Tony Celeste. I am representing the property owner and the applicant. You see, we brought a team with us to try to provide as much information as possible related to the development. So with me is Dr. Ken Ackerett and Mariana Honeycutt. They are with the engineering firm of Kimley Horn, who can help speak about traffic. Chris Teachman, who is the architect of the project, she has some design questions, and you guys have met Michelle with NDOT, who we are interfacing with respect to this project and the design of the interchange. First, before we get into some of those specifics, let me just, I always find it beneficial to just kind of point out on an aerial exactly where the project is. This is the 15. You can see the proposed project bisects the 15 on both the east and the west side. This is at the Gene interchange, and it's a total of 140 acres or so. Most of the projects on the east side that would encompass part of the hotel there, and then a little bit smaller portion on the west side of the 15 here. We have right now processing with Clark County a non-conforming zone change. Right now this property is master planned commercial tourist. Commercial tourist allows for resort hotel, basically H1 zoning, as evident by the former hotel casino on the site. Commercial tourist master plan designation does not contemplate an M1 zoning. That is the zone change we are asking for, and that would be the zone change that would allow a large-scale distribution logistics center. So that is what is currently before the county right now, pending at the Planning Commission next week, and then the Board of County Commissioners in February. This is just the zoning map right here showing. The pink is H1. We're going to ask to match the M1 zoning that's immediately to the east, and you can see kind of around. So that is actually what is before the County Planning Commission next week and the Board of County Commissioners the following week. What we've done in support of that application is also submit a site plan right here. Again, this just to orient you again, the 15 bisecting it, the Gene interchange right here on the east side would be basically where the hotel is, the gas station, and then you can see the various footprints that would be anticipated for the overall development of the site here. I know a lot of the questions are related to, I guess, the traffic through here. So at that, I will let Mariana or Dr. Ken Ackerett kind of explain what work we are doing with NDOT to improve the traffic safety and turning movements in the area. So I know they have some exhibits that they'll go over, and with that, I think I'll turn it over to them for.
As I said, I'm Dr. Ken Ackerett. I have a PhD in transportation engineering from UNLV. So I've been in town for a couple of decades here, back when that used to be the Nevada Landing Casino out there, and that's gone, and we have a lot of history. We got involved in the area most recently when the Starbucks was coming in to take over the old gas station, and we started working with NDOT on that. And one of the very first things were, the driveways on the highway there. There were two going to the gas station, and we were working with the state about what can we do to deal with the new facility that was just opened, the traffic there, and something back on the other side of the street. So with that, we started working out some plans that eliminated the two driveways that were there to the old gas station, moved a new driveway that lined up with what was on the other side of the street here, and that started the beginning of the plan, because we're going, whatever was here today and being converted, there was still all the other land, and it wouldn't be great to add more driveways along the roadway with everything else. So
excuse me.
Yes, am I blocking my view from you?
Yes, we're the ones that are going to be voting on this anyway. So.
Well, you know.
Actually, there's no, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, this is just for discussion, there's no vote on this.
But that's all right. I mean, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Didn't mean to, you know. So I was referring to the gas station was here, that's turning into the Starbucks. There were driveways here that are now, as you know, you drive by, they're gone. And a new driveway here that lines up to the front drive that goes into the Terrible Herbs Auto, world's largest regional gas station. Well, what we've done is say, someday there may be enough traffic here that it will require a warrant, a traffic signal. And then that location, we've worked out and had discussions with the state and saying that then works out in spacing between here and here and coming across. So I won't say there will be a traffic signal there tomorrow, but the idea is to plan through the future what may happen here, not knowing when we talked about that probably about 2 years ago, to a year and a half ago, how do we start framing this up for more traffic? Now that you saw some more development coming in, what we are suggesting here is the next steps to move forward with it. And there's also some interim measures that we've had conversations with NDOT, and those, I think Michelle may be able to talk more about what NDOT's immediately have some funding for to start moving in the direction. But what we're suggesting here is that we really develop a open lane without turns coming into it or coming out of it. So as you're coming, from here back towards the freeway,
then just for perspective, this is Good Springs.
Yes, Good Springs over here, the freeway interchange, the freeway here, and coming through to go back into Las Vegas. So coming off the freeway here, coming back, coming out to the west. So coming from our direction, coming into the interchange, we have the widened out area, which can now be developed as right turn lanes into the Chevron, and where it gets cut off today, and they come out of this driveway and have to go into the main from traffic that interferes with it. Want to carry that all the way through to be a right turn getting onto the freeway towards Prim. So that then you, as you come in, you get one lane, and we also were developing left turn lanes in to go to the north from this direction. So to the Starbucks, so that you can drive all the way through and then under the freeway interchange and then into the left, new wider left turn pocket to get on the freeway.
No. Have you ever been out here on a holiday weekend?
Yes, I have been. Actually, I have been. And I've been stuck here trying to get under here to go back home.
Yes.
I mean, I understand, sir. I've been here. I was actually trying to get out here to work, and I was stuck on the freeway 2 miles out of here just to be able to get off to get in here to see what all was going on. So I respect your opinion, sir. You get stuck out here in this interchange. Believe me, I understand that.
Hour plus. 2 hours sometimes.
It is a shame that we're stuck all the way from California state line where it's merging all the way back on major 3-day holiday weekends. I understand.
That through lane will solve that.
Well, the through lane I'm trying to suggest we do is one, I can't solve the freeway with these folks trying to get out to get on to go south. But most of those people got off here, got into this parking lot, and then they're sitting here trying to get out, getting here to get out, and I'd rather than park up into the Chevron here, waiting to line up to go south. Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Can we let them finish with their presentation, and then we'll have public comment on this, and then they can answer any questions.
So that was, heading back to the east. We're opening up one full lane this way, and as well, getting a separate turn pocket here. And if that's blocked up, as you know, people still come over here to the old Las Vegas Highway, and that's blacked up too. But it gives more options to get out. but we can't really solve what's happening from the interchange going back into town. Mostly it's when everybody's leaving this way, usually we're still that time of time when the people are all heading back into Vegas. The flip side is coming into town on Friday night and three-day weekend, they're the other direction. Now, coming from town, what we want to do is open up where it tightens up today, give a wider pavement that comes all the way down as essentially a right turn and goes right into this, up to where the Starbucks is, and carry that open lane all the way through going back here, heading back to the west. And so we're looking at improvements here on the west, on the east side of the interchange, over here on the west side of the interchange, well, here and here, improvements at the main entrances to both sides and carrying that outward. So that's what we're looking at, trying to improve the free flow of traffic and getting the traffic that needs to be making turns to the right, making left turns out of the through lane to be able to come through this traffic area today.
The idea, to the point earlier, is that this through lane, we're creating a designated through lane uninhibited by traffic queuing back, because those queues now have dedicated lanes to sit in, whereas today they don't.
So, yeah, thank you. I mean, we can explain it, but that's where we're heading with this as a direction that we're moving forward and recommending. We still need to do more study on it. It still needs to be reviewed and approved by NDOT, but that will be coming out of the full traffic studies that are starting to be part of the overall project. And so if as we work, we find more things to do to improve it from where we are right now, we're going to be moving forward with those and in partnership with NDOT on how we can make this work for the entire community. But I can tell you, my first meeting several years ago with what's doing with Starbucks, the first conversations with NDOT was, this is not just this the traffic of the Starbucks, it's this whole area that we need to work on. And they were very diligent with us about doing a lot of study, observation counts and everything. They're concerned about pedestrian traffic, a lot of activity that's going on here that the state has asked us to continue to do as we're looking at development.
And ultimately, for any future development in this area, it's in everyone's best interest for the community, for the future development. This has to be improved in the interim and a permanent solution as well. And that's why it's going to take partnership, not just with us and Toll's development, but NDOT here, just to let you guys all know that it's a whole team effort on this front.
No, again, the developer wants this to flow well because it's a business advantage to make sure their traffic, their employees, everything else is working. It's to everybody's benefit to make sure the traffic works for everybody. And so this is an opportunity we're trying to take advantage and make sure that this is going to work well for everybody involved. I guess I could ask any questions.
Okay, the problem, the way I see it, is that you have three lanes leaving the gas station, the big gas station, all coming into one lane. You've got the people coming from Good Springs, like me, moving in to the same lane, okay? Now you're gonna have people coming from Starbucks going into the same lane. When I was stuck in traffic there, and it took me an hour to get through, there were cars that were behind me, that were passing me, going into ongoing traffic, okay? You have to,
Maria,
do something. You have to put a barrier there or,
Maria,
something.
Maria, you're complaining about what the problem is right now.
Right.
If you could see, because you're too far away, the problems are solved right there.
Yeah.
So
this
gonna,
is what should have been done when they put the gas station in.
They're going to put more lanes in there?
Yes.
Yes.
We're widening the roadway
to
put it in
turns.
So there's going to be a thoroughway.
And then all the cars are coming down on Las Vegas Boulevard, which is backed up almost to Las Vegas.
Here's Good Springs.
That's great.
Yeah.
That will work.
Yeah.
So you've got 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
So
oh, she's showing.
I'm just curious. Who do you represent? I'm confused.
Okay. I am representing the development
of the warehousing facilities.
Okay, warehousing. I didn't mention warehousing. Where is that?
Okay, that's what
he was talking about.
That's what was being mentioned here. That's their project. I was representing the Starbucks a few years ago, and I brought that up because I represented them in working with the state to start a lot of this. I'm now working with the development of the warehousing and being able to advance what was done then towards an overall plan to do to improve that traffic. I'm glad that you asked that because it's nice to explain because I've always tried to make it work for everybody.
I understand that. And, but no mention of the warehouse. What
box? So then.
You know what? Let's have one at a time because we got too many conversations going at this point. And I don't know if you guys would be able to stick around for a minute where people could come up and look at it maybe a little bit closer. Because I know being up here, we can see it pretty easily, and that can be so. Maybe that might be an opportunity.
It can be confusing. We just want to make it really clear what we would like to do.
I appreciate that.
So, just to kind of a recap, or let me clarify what initially said. Thank you. So what we have right now before the county is a non-conforming zone change for this 140 acres that bisects the I-15 bisects. There were some on the west, some on the east side. It is today zone H1, which predominant use is resort, hotel, casino, which you see existing today. Our use that we want to do in the future is the warehouse distribution logistics facility, which you can see a preliminary plan here. Again, the 15 bisecting the acreage, 140 acres, some on the east side, some on the west side. Right here is the existing hotel.
Okay.
So this is the kind of the preliminary plans that we have submitted with our non-conforming zone change. This use right here that we're proposing is not an allowed use in an H1. What the zoning district it is allowed in is this blue color, which is M1. That allows the warehouse distribution facility. As we go through the zone change, there'll be a condition requiring us to submit more specific plans with respect to the actual square footages, more details of the building, where the docks are going to be located, throat depths, exact entrances, building heights, the articulation of the building, all of those kind of details will be followed, but we know what, and also very important to this conversation tonight is a required traffic study and coordination, not only with the county, but with NDOT on what we are currently developing with NDOT that all has to be put together before we can get permits approved. Our traffic study will have to be done and completed and approved by the state and the county. So this is when we're referring to the ultimate use. Hopefully a couple of years from now, you'll see ground being broken for, you know, and this will come in various phases, not all going to be built at once, but various phases. And so that's kind of the high level. And
what's the purpose of the warehouses? Has it been, do you have a purpose yet, or is it just you're going to build them and hope something happens?
Well, yeah, so I think a lot of, there's a big movement with obviously the Amazon type that, you know, I'm not saying Amazon specifically, but that type of warehousing is becoming a premium because now it is basically direct shipped.
E-commerce,
yeah, the big e-commerce is booming. The brick and mortar is going away or being repurposed for other uses. So that is the vision that the tolls, the developer sees here. This is obviously strategically located on a 15 with while there needs to be improvements with the interchange, but you have an existing interchange that can be help facilitate this. And there's rail, there's other, you know, planned uses in the next 30 years in this corridor. So,
you know, and this is maybe a little bit my fault. This was just a discussion item. This is very preliminary. So they're just giving us the information. There's nothing that's being decided. So the zoning change that he's talking about is not being decided tonight. The roadways aren't being decided tonight. They're just letting us know where they're kind of heading before those items will come before us and then before the county commission. So this is all very, very early and preliminary.
But let me clarify. So Gene, this project in Gene doesn't have a town board. No one lives in Gene. There's no town board. They don't have to be here tonight. Every one of these people is giving up their evening tonight as a courtesy to come out and share this information with the community. So thank you all for being here, because normally we wouldn't get this. So that's why they're here, just so that you guys know, because it affects all of us when we drive through it every day. So you know what's going on in Jeep.
Oh, and thanks for the invitation, too. We appreciate it.
And from my perspective, I want your opinions, because you live here, you drive through it multiple times a week, multiple times during the day, and your feedback helps us to find the best solution here. Yes, sir. Yes.
Just to clarify so I understand, this is being built on the property where the Vanna Landing used to be?
And
several other places on the other side.
Is it on the other side?
So
that mess.
The Vanna Landing was up right up in here.
Yeah. Are you doing both sides of the 15?
Yeah. So the 15's right here. Yeah. The yellow represents
Where the truck stop is now. That's going to be redeveloped.
The over here, over on Las Vegas Boulevard, that's still remaining.
Okay, so it's behind that.
Yes, it's to the...
Okay, so is that now, is it one big warehouse or individual warehouses that are rented out to different
people? So, again, we're kind of preliminary, so we basically identify like 7, 8 pads, if you will, and it's 140 acre assemblage of property.
Right.
So we loosely got an A, B, C, D. Within here, the specific details of how it's going to look, how many buildings, units, docks, that's still got to be worked out. But these would be the different phases.
Yeah, I understand it. I understand. It's in the preliminary thing. It's going to morph into whatever you're going to morph it into. But I grew up on Long Island. I watched this happen. I'm all for it for the jobs and stuff. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to bring out here is, you say loading docks. There'll be 150 to 300 tractor trailers a day going through that intersection. Mm-hmm. And unless you widen the lanes underneath the 15 to two double lanes, that ain't going to work. We're going to be in worse shape than we are now, even with your improvements are good for now. But you put that truck facility in there, and it'll be a bottleneck every day, 7 days a week, unless you widen underneath the 15 to two lanes. I've seen this before. It's great. I'd like to see it. We need jobs out here. But everything you designed on your things, your improvements, was good stuff. All right? When you put a warehouse facility with 150 to 300 tractor trailers a day, and you ain't getting underneath that 15, 7 days a week.
I appreciate your comment.
Honestly, it's an observation.
Yes. And I don't know if I can say lucky enough. I worked a lot with Gary Prim down the roadway when he was building a lot of the facilities. And if you recall what that interchange used to be like, if you've been here, and what it is today. So there are ways, as you talk about.
There are ways of doing it, but have you explored widening that two lanes underneath the 15? That's the key to this whole thing. What you do on the surrounding area there is great stuff. But you put in 150 to 300 trucks a day going underneath that thing, and traffic's going to stand still. And we're not talking about a couple of cars on a weekend. We're talking about a major trucking facility that's going to have probably 400 or 500 people working there in all those different warehouses. Trucks coming. The Levi Strauss thing on St. Rose. They go through, I don't know, I was told 200 and something trucks a week come in and out of there. But that's a four-lane road, St. Louis. There's plenty of room. And that's just one warehouse. You put a bunch of them in there, and we get that kind of traffic flow under there. What you did on the improvements really looks great, if it's just us using it. But then you build that and add that to it, and we're back to where we started with bottleneck. You got to widen underneath the 15, the two lanes, or none of this is going to work.
So I appreciate exactly what you're saying, and you said it in front of Michelle from NDOT.
Okay.
We work with NDOT as to the scope of the study we have to do. That, as was mentioned, we still need to do a full traffic study for all that traffic, the and that's going to be generated. Okay. And how is it going to address the interchange?
You've got to widen that underneath the 15, or this is dead in the water. But I mean, it's not going to work. With all the good stuff you designed. It ain't going to work unless you widen.
Yeah, and we've been working with it, not and trying to do interim measures to direction and so on. And Michelle, that probably is the great cue to say. Would you like to say something on behalf of the state?
Give Ken a break here. I wanted to just add two things. First, to your comment there, that is exactly one of the concerns that I've had as a traffic engineer for the state of Nevada. Sorry, I'm not very loud.
That's okay. I got bad news.
What you talked about today is one of the concerns that I have, and it's something that we have already discussed in our preliminary meetings, and we've even talked, even though this is a preliminary stage right now, we've talked about operation hours for trucking. We have brought that subject up because from the developer's point of view, they are also not going to want their truckers stuck in traffic routes.
Sure,
that's not going to benefit them either. So if we get into a situation where the traffic from this development is going to interfere and add to the congestion that's already there on the weekend, we are prepared to have requirements, sorry guys, 4 hours and days for when they have their traffic coming through.
There's another aspect to this also. The old Las Vegas Boulevard, it goes from Gene back to Vegas. They widen that to 4 lanes. The truckers don't have to get on the 15. They can go north and get on later.
And so I assume.
And that was on the drawing board when they planned that new airport out there, that Las Vegas Boulevard was going to be 6 lanes all the way up, 4 lanes all the way up.
And I don't know how much Las Vegas Boulevard we have.
That little two-lane road over there with tractor trailers zooming up and down.
So far in preliminary with the county, the reservation of Las Vegas Boulevard is 200 feet of right-of-way.
So, I was just going to add to that. So the county, I believe, controls Las Vegas Boulevard through there. They have the ability, today it's whatever, it's 50 feet wide, whatever the width is. They have the ability, though, and the rights to go up to 250-foot right-of-way through there to do exactly what you're saying, expand it.
That would be another key to this thing, because you need an auxiliary route for fire engines, police, ambulances, you got to have Las Vegas Boulevard to make this work has to be wide.
It's 200 feet. Yeah, but we're looking at 200 foot of right of way, and of course they're all concerned because Ivanpah's not dead; it's just been delayed. Yeah, that yes, we have Ivanpah traffic and everything. So, again, what was pointed out is that the developer with the truck industry, the truck drivers don't want to be stuck in traffic. That costs money. No one wants traffic congestion at the interchange. So, we're going to have to study and look and come up with the best plan to accommodate that. And then, as you looked at, yes, widening under the interchange is...
That's the key to it right there. You got to have 4 lanes, 2 in each direction under that bridge. Somebody breaks down a little bumper thing.
Mark, you're over your 3 minutes on comment here.
I did just have one other thing I wanted to add since I started talking already. From a very temporary perspective, so I don't know what their time frame is for this development, and honestly, I don't have control over the time frame of their development. So we have gone ahead in my office and recommended that a smaller project be done in the interim in hopes that this project does come through. But what our request has been is to add a right turn lane to go southbound on the 15 when you're headed eastbound on 161. And as well, a left turn lane onto that same ramp to allow for continuous movement.
You're looking at... You're coming out again. You're looking at going east and going south.
Yeah, and I've got a smaller...
You have a smaller version, but getting this bottleneck taken care of today, right?
Yeah, so actually...
And then you have the other side.
Yeah, so we're on this side right here. Yeah. Okay, so what our goal is here is to allow for one through lane to go through.
So in other words, we can take coming out of the gas station, you have a separate lane going on to the entrance ramp itself. Mm-hmm. So they don't go into the merge lane and
come over.
Exactly.
So you don't get stuck there.
And actually, our proposal is not the same as Ken's because there is There's some sort of utility here that is in the way.
There's a pole and a junction box.
So you're working, you know, temporarily on the other side of it too.
Actually, what we were proposing, which again, our proposal is going to another group that's going to design and build this project, and that group is limited with our district budget. So they're going to do what they can within their district budget, but they're only allowed up to $300,000 per contract. So with whatever we can do with that amount, that's what they're going to try to do. But the right turn lane that we're actually proposing cuts through and around that utility up in here to allow traffic to get directly onto the ramp.
Yeah, that would be a big help.
And then again, we are proposing this left turn lane as well right there. So that is something that hopefully will get designed in fiscal year 2023, which starts July 1st for us of this year. So our fiscal years are...
But like I said, unless you widen those lanes underneath the bridge, you're trying to get 10 pounds of goods in a 5-pound box.
All right.
So, and I just want to reiterate, yeah. So I am the district traffic engineer, and our district budget is separate from the rest of the state of Nevada's budget. What you're proposing is not something that we could complete in district. So that would have to be, if their project doesn't do that, that would have to be what we call a 4-digit contract, which is done by our headquarters group. And they are aware of the situation. We have told them the issues.
So the developer wouldn't be responsible for any improvements?
Well, I will say normally from the state, they will ask us to find some form of participation and contributions for our traffic that's impacting that.
You know, down in Victorville, where the Roy Rogers Museum used to be, they charged Roy Rogers $800,000 to build a bridge over 15.
So here's the thing. We can require certain things. If their project cannot meet the requirements, I don't know that they can continue forward with their project.
We'd like to see I think it'd be great for the area, for jobs. There's a lot of people in Sandy Valley working in that
All right.
gas station.
Do we have any other comments at this time?
Can I hear about what exactly you're proposing to make? It's just going to be a warehouse? Who is doing it? My son's girlfriend works at the Amazon warehouse on Bermuda and St. Rose. You know, would it be something like that? You know, where it's a big warehouse, and would it be run by Amazon? Would it be run by another company?
Yeah. So I was it would be something like that. I was just purely using Amazon as an example. I'm not saying Amazon is coming at all. So please don't misconstrue that. I was just saying that by way of example. But yes, it would be a large-scale warehouses, several of them. Detail. I don't know, Chris, do you have, I'll bring Chris up, he's the architect, he might have a little bit more detail. But like I said, this is preliminary, we haven't even submitted those specific plans yet.
So when we're designing these types of facilities, we're trying to maximize the flexibility of what a developer would attract as far as a business. So when you see some of these buildings, this could be one person or one company. It could be two companies, and they split the building. So when we design it right now, we call it a cold dark shell. There is nothing in it until somebody signs a lease, and then they build it out to purpose whatever they can. Now, each of those companies, just so you know, will look at circulation, which in industrial truckers rule, if you can't get the circulation to work, like the doctor was saying, they don't want to go there. So everything in here is based off of the amount of trucks a tenant will use, and in the amount of trailer space. So some of these might only have one or two trips a day. They're more manufacturing. One could be the e-commerce, so you know you're talking about Amazon. Some are just distribution. Some of these guys call it an intermodal facility, which means they're coming from the port. Instead of going all the way through to Las Vegas, they'll stop, drop off product, and then head back to the port. Same as Vegas coming down here, dropping it off, and going back. Everyone's heard about how packed the ports are. So they're looking at these as a segue into alleviate truck traffic to try to keep the truckers off the road or on the road, but not overtime. You know, they have a 10-hour trip time that they're mandated. So We take this all into account, working with Civil, working with the owner, and working with the community. So it's not, we're not doing it just because we want to. We think it's going to be a benefit to the community.
The idea is working towards what we would call an inland port, right? So something to help pull the stress off of what we're seeing along our ocean fronts, right? With our ocean front ports. So this is basically a middle ground between Las Vegas and what we're seeing along the coastline.
But it won't be a container yard. You'll see trailers, but you won't.
I'll tell you what would work for us. Pave the back road to Prump, we can go over Blue Diamond. We don't have to worry about this anymore.
Yeah, good
boy.
11.2 miles.
All right, do we have any other comments about this project? Yes.
This is actually more for MDOT. So a little while back, Sisolak and Newsom met the big problem with the 15 and the congestion, the backup. They're talking the high-speed train and all that. But realistically, our biggest problem is the two lanes going across the Ivanpah Dry Lake bed. And getting that opened up from the state line over to the inspection stations in California. Has any of that started? Have they looked at the plans for doing any of this? Because that's realistically going to be the biggest alleviation for the traffic congestion.
In the last meeting that I was in, California had agreed to take their shoulder and dedicate that as a travel lane during high volume times of the day, so that they will have that third lane. And on our end, we are going to also widen our side to three lanes up until, I think, 5 miles back. Or I'm sorry, 5 miles is the California side. We're going to go back to where that trucking lane begins, or ends.
Right.
But basically, the concept is still going to be three continuous lanes all the way through, from the Nevada side into the California side. We are prepared to have our side done when California is ready to open up theirs, so that all of this will flow continuously. So that is moving forward.
All right, thank you. Any other comments on this project? All right, well, thank you all for coming out, for sharing that information. That was great. We'll move on to our next item, is to review and approve the 2022 meeting calendar. This is for possible action.
I sent it out to all you guys. It's basically just the same as
before.
You're doing now, 7:30, Tuesdays, unless there's anything you guys want to change.
Well, you know, I don't know about you guys, but it really works for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you, but it works for me to have.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it was another day, but since that can't be changed, I don't see any problem with leaving it alone.
You can see my dance card is full, so you can't move to it. So, if you're okay with it, then I'm
motioning you to go ahead. I move we keep it as is, and
all right, all in favor of approving the CAC schedule as printed here?
Aye.
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 All right. All right, we'll move on to agenda item number 8. This is comments by the general public. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the council's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up and clearly state your name and address. Please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the council wishes to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the council by majority vote. Okay.
Suzanne Dela Rosa, is that okay?
Yep.
Suzanne Dela Rosa, D-E-L-D-E-L-R-O-S-A. Just a question for Megan. I'm getting excited seeing all the pink ribbons going up.
Oh yeah, So you notice the pink ribbons and the sticks and the pink markings on the road. They're doing
great stakes.
What?
Grade stakes.
Okay, well, whatever. The pink ribbons. They are doing some more detailed surveying, and they told me what it is, but it didn't make any sense to me. Something about testing their verticals and something. So they're getting closer on the design of the pass. I don't have any more details than that, but they're working on it.
Things are happening this year?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Mark?
I'll keep it under 3 minutes.
I appreciate that. I'll hold you to it.
Speaking of roads, I got to talk fast, so I got 3 minutes. Speaking of roads, going down Mojave, heading south, the construction crew was fixing the road. There used to be a sand dune there, and Dave Moore took the sand dune. It was all poof dirt. You couldn't drive through there, you know? And I go over there the other day, about a week ago, and they were fixing it. I mean, they had the road graders in there. They put type 2 down and everything. So I stopped and talked to the construction foreman. Apparently, they're doing that because they're paving jade all the way past the airport, and they need a road for the trucks to get out. So they had to fix Mojave. So he gave me the name and phone number for the construction foreman, and I called up and I had a lengthy conversation with him about the roads here in Sandy Valley. And he told me that if he drives his two-wheel drive pickup truck down the street and he can't get through, they'll fix it. So I think we ought to get together and make a list of the streets in Sandy Valley that we can't drive through. I mean, there's one down on Utah, and the lady in the house said FedEx, UPS, Home Depot, and Lowe's all stop and ring her doorbell at least once every week because they get stuck in the street there. Mm-hmm. They can't, got to get a truck to pull them out. That's really, you know, not good. Anyway, so he also said that if the fire chief requests a street to be paid because they can't get a fire truck or an ambulance down, he'll fix that one also. I'm not saying overwhelm the county with all this stuff, but pick out our 5 worst streets every 6 months or once a year and let them take the 5 worst streets. In a couple of years, we'll get the bad streets fixed, you know? But that's what he told me. If he can't drive through there in his two-wheel drive pickup truck, the county will fix the road. That's what the guy said. So I think it's up to us to make a list, have someone on the board or somebody make a list of the bad streets and present it to the county and let them take care of some of it. They're not gonna do the whole thing, but just the bad sections. I mean, I'm renting a big loader and stuff. I'm moving a sand dune off of Artesia. The road hasn't been open in like 20 years because there's a piece, two houses down there. You gotta go all the way around past the airport to get back into that lot. So I have to do it myself because they won't do it. And that shouldn't be right for a taxpayer to have to fix the road to get to his own property.
Yes, that's exactly what it should be, because that you're putting in the road to get to your property.
No, the road's already there. You can't drive a two-wheel drive truck over the sand.
Right. It's not accepted for county maintenance. We talked about this multiple times.
I know,
and if you go start putting, telling them to come fix all the roads, they're going to start making people improve their roads.
Well, and they're going to charge us. Because the road is your road.
It's your road.
I have 5 acres, but I have only 4.3
usable
acres because they count the
road. Well, I took it upon myself. I fixed a lot of roads here in this town. A lot of
them. All right. We're going to move on to our next comments. Yes.
The man said if you can't drive down that street in a two-wheel drive truck, they'll fix it. Let's take him for his word.
I just have a correspondence from Marianne Donnelly. First annual Sandy Valley Earth Day, Friday, April 22nd, 2022, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Free. This local geology-focused microfest offers meteorites, minerals, gems, rocks, displays, gold panning, PlayStation, music, art, games, presentations. It's, I guess, by the Good Springs Historical Society, and it will be taking place at the Senior Center, is what I understand.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments by the general public? All right. Our next meeting date will be February 8th. This meeting is adjourned. All right.